Welcome home. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Graham. And this podcast is the home ec class you wish you'd been offered.
We're two moms who've been real life best friends for more than two decades. We're trying to create gracious homes that are welcoming, but also functional, all while dealing with real life schedules, budgets, and children.
Stick with us and we'll share and show what we know, what we've learned, where we've messed up, and how to fix it. For everything we can't make up, we'll bring in the best experts we can find. You're listening to Welcome Home. On today's episode, we're talking about good taste. What is it? Who has it? And honestly, is it even something we can define? We'll talk about everyone from Dolly Parton to Iris Apfel to the legend of the woman who once tied a scarf around her handbag.
Plus, why pantyhose is causing us quite the controversy, the Gap jacket that's taken the world by storm, and our latest million-dollar business idea, subscription underwear. It's gonna be big! All that and more on this week's episode of Welcome Home.
Welcome home, Kirsten.
Welcome home, Graham.
And welcome everyone to the Good Taste episode of the Welcome Home podcast.
Yet another episode we are wildly unqualified to deliver. No. Okay, wait, Graham, I know that we pride ourselves on being evergreen, if you will. But that said, I have a lot of things I need to talk about. Like December 1st starts tomorrow. The advent calendars are rearing to go. I feel like we need like a minute of post-party wrap-up on Thanksgiving and then a little bit of like, where are you now Christmas?
Okay. Yes. And you just reminded me, I don't have an advent calendar. Trader Joe's. I know. And we're big into that. I forgot to get one. Okay. Adding it to the file effects right now. Yeah. Trader Joe's is sold out. I went the other day.
This is so upsetting. I wish you lived closer because, okay, I can speak freely. My mom does not listen to the show, but every year she sends my kids advent calendars. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Mom, I don't need you to do that. So she spends $10 to mail me a dollar calendar. Whatever, Mom. So
isn't it very sweet how they do
it
that?
It's inefficient. It's kind, but it's dumb. Yeah. Anyhow. And plus, like, anyway, whatever.
How many people do you think are out there still purchasing gifts, wrapping them up at home, and then sending them at the post office? I think it's actually a decent number of people.
Grandma Emmy Lou is still doing it in her 90s. So
no, but
God
I think
bless her.
People our age are still doing it. That's what I'm saying. I think it's like an opinion poll. I really do think there are many people who are actually wrapping gifts and going to the post office and mailing like a shoebox that's wrapped up with a gift in it.
Okay, so this is tricky because I'm on this big shopping local kick now that I live in a small town and there are so many cute stores here and I do love to do that, but I'm just kind of trying to like also manage. I don't want to burn myself out. So I buy all my local gifts here. And then I also bought stocking stuffers because I'm not going to be with my husband's family this Thanksgiving or this Christmas. I'm going to be with my family. So I bought stocking stuffers. I packed them in my suitcase and I brought them to Thanksgiving. So,
oh my gosh, you are so ahead of it. Wait, so you're not going to be home. You're going to be away for Christmas Day.
I'm going to be away for Christmas Day, but I'm going to be with my family.
See, I'm in the same boat. That's crazy, actually. Yeah, and I've never had that happen. That has not happened once in the history of me having children. Have I not been in my house?
Okay, first, let's do Thanksgiving because I want to talk about that. Okay, Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving?
And it's got to be fast. This is an episode on
good taste. I know. But I really want to talk about my Thanksgiving. Is that okay?
Okay, my Thanksgiving was excellent. It was normal. It was, well, excellent, meaning no one cried and it was moderately fun across the board. And we ate the meal. So there, that was Thanksgiving.
What pie did you choose?
Oh, we actually had Cheesecake Wars, which is so weird. We did not have a single pie. My dad makes a wonderful cheesecake that I grew up with. Okay. So we had that. It was like my grandma's recipe and he made it. But then my sweet sister-in-law, her mother actually came to our Thanksgiving and they are legit Italian. They have the real deal connections. And allegedly they have this woman who makes cheesecakes by invitation only. It's one of their aunts. And so we had that cheesecake and it was a little bit awkward because it was an excellent cheesecake, but I felt badly.
Was it better than your dad's? Your dad doesn't listen. So speak for
me. I mean, it was just pro, you know, it was a complete pro cheesecake.
Was it made with love the way that Big Dave's is?
Yes. It was sprinkled with love. I mean, it was a different taste. My dad puts lemon in his, but it was pretty good. Okay. You had a more interesting Thanksgiving, but there you go. There was no pie.
No pie. I love that there was a war, though.
It was two giant cheesecakes.
Fascinating. Yes. Okay. I'm so sorry, but can I talk about my Thanksgiving? Because it was
Yeah.
really interesting. And I feel like, here's the thing, I'm amazed at how many people actually do the things we suggest or recommend. Like, it's pretty darn shocking to me still. I got a call from, or I got a text from the Sweet Sophistications is Overrated ladies, and they said they
What?
just bought the Dudley Stevens fleece
What?
because we recommend it. So people do recommend it. So I hesitate to talk about my Thanksgiving for fear of sounding self-congratulatory, right? If
Yeah,
you
but you
will.
actually did something lovely.
Well,
I was
I mean,
impressed.
here's the deal. Enough people on iTunes think I'm a total jerk that it's okay to at least be like, I'm not the world's worst. I'm just like moderately bad. Anyway, so we built a house over Thanksgiving. And I have to tell you guys, because as I said before, people
In
actually
Tijuana.
in Tijuana, as people, as I just said a second ago, people actually like take us up on some of our recommendations. For anyone who has ever thought, my kids are spoiled brats, or I just want to give back, or I want to do something a little bit different, or a community service project, I cannot recommend this enough. This was such, I will go out on a limb
You
and say
loved it.
this was the best Thanksgiving I have ever had. It
Oh
was
my
so
gosh.
wonderful. So I just want to give a little plug. I'm
For
sure there are
Tijuana.
many for Tijuana. Highly recommend it. Actually, but okay, well, here's the thing. It's called Homes of Hope. It's through YWAM, which is it's a Christian organization, but they're very like chill on the Christianity because they're just more into like doing good, you know, because they really wanted, they like purposely made it. I mean, it's obviously it's a missionary, it's a ministry. That said, they really wanted it just to be for anyone who wanted to build homes. So it's not like you're going to, I mean,
So
we pray
anyone
for
could
the
go.
buildings. Yeah, we pray for the family, but it's very low key. It's not over the top, if that's not your thing, but just the doing good and the service part of it, that part of Christianity. So it was really wonderful. But it's Youth with the Mission, Homes for Hope. I'm sure there's many great organizations like this out there, but this is the one that I experienced, and I experienced the Tijuana one. And I mean, you guys can email me or reach out to me on Instagram if anyone has any interest in doing this, because I just loved it. It was so wonderful. The
You did.
facilities were insane. First of all, the facilities were shockingly good because I was prepared for like, this being like service. And the place we stayed was beautiful. The food was amazing. The people we met who worked there were, I mean, just over the top awesome. Like just
No,
the
it sounds
nicest,
lovely.
coolest people. We had so much fun. It's like the first
And
Thanksgiving I feel
children.
like I earned my, I mean, this was way better than turkey trot. Children were shockingly helpful. They were, because we built for a family that had a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So those are like the ages of my kids. So they were
Are
playing with
those
my
people
kids.
working along with you? Are the
Yep.
future homeowners
They work
working?
along with you, which is awesome. And then the second
Okay.
day, two or three people in our group took them to Walmart to buy like stuff for their new house.
That is so
And
neat.
so like yeah, so like my little niece who's 12 went shopping with the 14-year-old girl and they went and picked out stuff. And I mean, yeah, it was really good. And my kids, I mean, obviously, they were not handling like saws and stuff. And you do have a team there to help you. But my kids got to do a ton of painting. They were super
That's
helpful with the
wonderful.
painting. And then just like, there's just that annoying stuff when you're doing that kind of thing, like carrying bricks back and forth, or not bricks, pieces of wood, and carrying, stuff back and forth. And they were, really helpful with that, and they wanted to be helpful.
I've always seen that as a lack in your, I could say this because you're my very best friend. I always thought you would like more service-oriented things, and it seems that you do.
Oh, we love it.
I
It's
think
always,
this
I feel like it's
proves.
always hard to find. You know what I mean? It's always like,
Right, really good things to do and how to get plugged in. Well, and w without sounding overly snobby at the same time, you really also said that you were staying in a the, so this organization obviously had you staying in a place, that was very comfortable for a family. So it sounds like in the evenings you had a nice place to retreat to after, working outside all day and doing that.
Yeah, if anyone actually has genuine interest in this, they have plenty of information on their website as far as like there's different levels of housing accommodations. There's like a dorm. We were like one step up from a dorm. I would say it was like the facilities themselves, like where we ate, were gorgeous. Just really fun. It had a very like Mexican kind of southwestern flair to it. So it was really charming. But then it also had but I mean our rooms were like a super nice like Hampton Inn. Like it was perfectly comfortable. It was just lovely. I was
Okay.
very comfortable. So
I
I had a
love
wonderful
it.
time. Just
So
wanted to give a plug for that because we really genuinely Had so much fun. So
much
fun.
So this brings me into today's episode. So I was doing, I'm always noodling or reading articles or things like that. And I came across an article in Town and Country and I thought it was fascinating. And then the moment I started doing a little bit of research on it, I realized that there's been a lot of people talking about the concept of good taste and having good taste. So I guess my first question to you, Kirsten, as someone who I clearly think you have excellent taste. So I'm sitting here being like, I want to do this. You've told me about this trip and it sounds wonderful. It sounds like something that I could involve all different levels of my family. And I consider you to be someone who has good taste. But what does it mean to you when you're describing someone who has good taste?
First of all, I'm 42 and I have come to the conclusion I don't have that great of taste in some things. I'm not a very good dresser. Again, I love it that no one I love listens to the show, so I can just speak freely about all of them. I love the perfect strangers will take our advice on things, but those nearest and dearest are like, yeah, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, we're not into that.
My husband is finally like had a confrontation with me on like, when I tell you to buy something, you should buy it because it always ends up being your favorite. The things you're like, I don't like it. I like Zeman. He's like, you always love them. And he's totally right. Like my whole closet is an example of things he convinced me to just suck it up and wear. And he was right. So
he does. So her husband has good fashion taste.
He has good fashion taste. He's got way better style than me. So he is now, but he like has, it's not like he loves to shop though. That's the thing. He doesn't enjoy this, that he has to go and take his wife shopping. It's not like, oh yay, shopping. He's like, ugh, fine, just get that and that. Like, go find some friends who can help you. But yeah, I don't think I have good taste.
Okay. So let me discuss how I think you do have good taste, how Town and Country in this article describes it, right? It's something that most people have strong ideas about. Okay. Nobody can define it. And virtually everyone seems to want good taste. Okay. We have strong ideas because our taste, as evidenced in our clothes, homes, and manners, are powerful projections of our identities, whether real or aspirational.
Well, here's the thing. Do you ever go to open houses just for fun? I mean, I just bought a house like a year ago, so I.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's our favorite to be a looky-loo. That's what we're, you call
that's
it.
That's what we call them, looky-loos. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we're looky-loos. I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but like, people have horrible taste. You know, you go to houses and you're like, well,
okay, but that's the concept.
Like,
what I'm saying
is, could we make this house work? Well, maybe if we got rid of all of their horrible stuff. P.S. There are many rooms in my house that look that I would have the exact same response to.
Right. Okay.
The
well,
room with all the photos so wrapped in bubble wrap because it's, you know, it has only been a year and no rugs.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, but here's what's cool though, right? So I'm reading this and then I started doing some background on the history of it. And there, it really goes back quite some time. So the Plato, a while ago, came up with this theory of forms. Have you ever heard about this?
Oh, no.
It's this notion. No, yeah. Like the concept of taste is a very old standing idea, right? So Plato came up with something called the theory of forms. And it's this idea that there's an ideal essence of everything. So there's an ideal essence to something that's material and also something that's abstract. Okay. So for example, there's the ideal characteristic of a virtuous person. Okay. So you can be perfectly virtuous, right? But there's also the idea that you can be perfect in something that's material. Like there could be the perfect chair, like the perfect, there is almost an archetype of what is perfect.
Okay.
Isn't that an interesting
concept? Like those gray pants that I have.
Yes. Like your producer pants that we call them. Kirsten has this pair of pants.
I bought a pair of pants. I think I got them at Lohmann's. They were Theory. I bought them in 1999, 2000.
Oh yeah. A long time ago.
Mm-hmm. They're amazing. Perfect. Still wearing them.
They're the traveling pants. We've discussed them on past shows, but they're the perfect. But but also that's the other thing. As far as good taste goes, they're the perfect pants to us.
By the way, I mean, well, by the way, let's just be honest here. They used to be a lot looser. I'm just going to say that because I am still wearing pants 20 years later. They don't fit quite the same. I'm not going to lie.
I think the fabric has just gotten shrunk in the.
No, not shrunken, Graham. It's gotten stretched.
Okay. But so here's one of the other cool things. I really found all of this once I started doing research.
It's interesting.
Fascinating.
Well, I also feel like we learned last week that there's no such thing as a synonym. That said, it is in, think about, flip it around and say poor taste. Like that's in poor taste. So like, I also feel like there's an element to taste where it's closely associated with behavior or like style.
Right.
Well, it's style, but the behavior, but manners, like they're all sort of in the same bucket, if you will.
Right. But so then this guy in this article, he said that good taste is also really, really paradoxical, because if you were trying to define someone who had good taste, it basically is someone who pretty much is expending a pretty tremendous amount of energy and attention on making sure that they have some sort of like exterior look that draws attention to them. But it's also something that we can't see, or you don't even want to be seen. Right?
Okay, two quick thoughts on that. One is, I was just in poor taste to point out that when you go to open houses, you realized how bad everyone else's taste is. And I felt the need to then jump in and say, look, I have bad taste too. Look how crummy my house would be if you went to it in an open house. So I think that is true to point it out. And then secondly, you know how like in every country song, it's like, she doesn't know she's beautiful. She just rolled out of bed and she's so beautiful.
Yeah, she's so gorgeous. And it's
these beautiful women who just like have it all together, but like, they don't know. They don't try, right? Like, I feel
right,
like,
but that's the thing.
The
they are trying. That's the
they're
thing.
They're totally trying. It's like, it's right. Like the whole idea of like, guys are like, don't wear a lot of makeup. And then you don't wear makeup. They're like, oh, good God, put on some makeup, you know?
Right.
So like, I think everyone wants to look like it's just, I just have effortless style. I'm just effortlessly chic. And like, it's a little bit nonsense.
Well, that's the whole thing about it. And so they gave this really interesting, example in one of the articles that I read that basically said this, you know, famous past socialite, she basically, what was it? I think it was like, she was carrying a handbag and I think she was also wearing a scarf, but it got windy or something. And so the scarf got messed up. And so she just like effortlessly tied the scarf on the handle of the handbag, you know, and then that became this huge trend that everyone started doing, like took an Hermes scarf and just tied it randomly just because she needed to, but just something about the way she carried herself and how kind of just she exuded effortless style. So there's something about being in good taste that has to look effortless, and yet it's very detailed at the same time.
Okay.
Which is where it's fine. A crazy conundrum.
It's a crazy conundrum, and it's also a little bit of a lie, because she still had the Hermes scarf. She still had
the beautiful
look. Like it wouldn't have worked if it was like, I just like took a scarf, you know, that I grabbed. Right. Out of, you know, yes, it would not have worked. But then have you been, let's just have a moment of honesty. Have you been watching my Hulu again?
No, I have not. I don't have your Hulu account.
I'm blocked from Hulu once again. I'm blocked out from Hulu.
I have not touched your Hulu account. No one has touched your Hulu account.
I'm giving her the stink eye through the Zoom. Anyhow, that's to say, I'm locked out of Hulu. For some reason, I'm locked out of Amazon. I'm locked out of everything. So I have no choice but to just watch Amazon Prime. And because, you know, I don't have cable. So I was watching this documentary the other day on Iris. What's her last name? You know who I'm talking about.
Like Iris Apple. Oh, yes. Yes. It's fabulous. I did watch that.
You did watch it. So I'm watching that because someone stole my Hulu. I guess someone not on this call. It's totally Graham.
don't even watch it.
So anyway, I was watching it and like she made no like attempt to hide the fact that she is a hunter. She is out there. She is working for her style. You know, like she was out there spending the time. She was very clear on like having this style is a full-time job, you know?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely was. For anyone who doesn't know Iris Apfel, she just was what, she was just a woman in New York. She wasn't employed by anything, by anyone. She just became a style icon. And she was an older woman, actually. And I was watching the biography on her as well. And it was fascinating because she was referencing Lohmann's, and you and I have talked about Lohmann's so many times, and I had to shop there when I was little as well. And it was almost like this bullpen of women who would just
kind of... I don't know if we have referenced Lohmann's. I don't know if people understand like the magic of Lohmann's and like the way it worked and the way you had to swallow
it. It was so crazy. So you could go there. It was, I think it was only in New York at the time.
Nope,
there was one
in Phoenix.
They expanded over time, but there was a famous one that you could go to and you would get truly amazing designer clothes, but you had to pick for them. Like there was no, you were working and every woman in there was working. I don't know. This was a long time ago before you could get designer clothes anywhere. I don't even know if they came from the runways or what it was, but you could get excellent quality clothes at good prices.
It was like a super fancy TJ Maxx.
Right. But you changed, and you changed in a bullpen. Like they didn't have dressing rooms.
It was a
community dressing room. And all the women would see you and they would size you up because it was almost like this everyman fashion show type thing, right? There were old women, there were young women, I mean, and all just the bodies thrown together and everyone was pulling on dresses and critiquing other people's dresses. But anyway, Iris Apfel was saying she was a major Lohmann shopper when she was younger. And I guess the woman, the wife of the founder of Lohmann's was watching everyone like from higher up, you know, just in this bullpen shopping. And she pulls Iris Apfel aside and says, "Sweetie, you're not good looking, like you're not pretty, but you have excellent taste and use that for the rest of your life. And just know that you're not beautiful and please stop, you know," and she wasn't being mean about it. It was completely, and that's exactly what I experienced in Lohmann's too, growing up. Like they would tell you, they were like, "Sweet pea, like your thighs are just not your long suit. Let's go for A-line skirts. Like, let's do this, let's do that." And it wasn't anything mean. It was just people being helpful, you know? But she referenced that moment as in Lohmann's being like a light bulb moment for her, because she was known as a woman who had excellent taste and people would follow her. And she was always pushing boundaries and trying new things, but it always looked so pulled together and effortless. And that's the thing. It was not. None of it's effortless.
Well, and I also think if you don't know this woman who we're talking about, what is she known for? Like if you had to just say one word.
Giant glasses.
Giant glasses, right? Uh-huh. And so I think that's another thing too, is like having your signature thing that you love and that is just you too. I think that's part of good taste.
Right. And I think we've discussed that in the past too, right? Like you look really good in pastels and that kind of is a good thing for you.
I don't look good in pastels.
I think you do. You pull it off more than I do.
No, but I think most people, well, because you're more of like an autumn. You look beautiful in cream and
taupe. I do.
Jewel tones are wonderful with Graham.
Okay, so wait. Here are the things that make you have good taste, right? According to some article. What would you say? Being aware of the current trends in fashion, art, and culture. So that's a time suck. You've got to be totally up to speed on all of that. So that's
okay. And by the way, that is getting harder and harder. Once you have seen, I'm sure I've said this before, but like you can't watch a trend go out of style. Look at pictures of yourself and be like, "Oh my gosh, what was I thinking?" And then go out and buy them again. Like that is the hard part that I'm having here, is like I'm having so many flashbacks now of like junior year in high school.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me? I think I saw like the famous, remember like the famous Steve Madden loafers with the big platform heels.
Can we talk about the fuzzy Birkenstocks? Oh, what is going on?
I just can't do it. Because you know why? I'll tell you why I can't do it. Is because like my daughter wears them. She thinks they're the cutest thing ever because she doesn't have memories of like every 80s movie of like a grandma coming out wearing those with like curlers in her hair. You know what I mean? Like that's my vision when I see those.
Right. But there's
that was like a character in an 80s movie.
So we have this very fancy shopping center, literally like a quarter mile from my house in Long Island. And I made the boys get out because we were up there for Thanksgiving. And basically it's fun. You can go and you can stroll and you can look in all the store windows. And I was passing Chanel. That is what Chanel is selling.
No, they're very in right now.
Everything looks like it's from outer space.
Wrong.
I know.
We're wrong.
I know. And have you heard about the new coat that the Gap has sold? Have you heard about this coat?
No.
I'm trying to think. I think Kanye West designed it. Okay. And it has a special name. You can't get it. So don't even try it. You can Google it maybe.
Wait, who makes it the Gap?
The gap is back. They have this hot item. I forget what the name is. It's called like the something puffer coat. I'm not even sure what it is, but it doesn't have any bucket. It doesn't have any buttons, snaps, or zippers. And it looks like you're wearing a large garbage bag, a large inflated garbage bag. But apparently if you spot someone on the street who has one on right now, you have seen like a unicorn.
The Yeezy.
Yes. Have you heard of it? I was about to go try to see if I could get my hands on a Yeezy. It didn't look so ugly to me. Of all the ugly things people are peddling, it wasn't the ugliest I've seen.
Wait, it looks like he's just wearing a sweatshirt.
It's a Yeezy.
Maybe it's pants. Are the pants like supposed to look like garbage bags?
It's the jacket.
It's just a hoodie. It looks just like a hoodie without a
drawstring. It doesn't have a hood. Mm-mm. No, okay, it doesn't have a hood.
This is just everything we know about the Yeezy. Oh, I see it. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's really, that is very spacey.
Yeah, it's really cool, but okay,
It ain't easy to get a Yeezy. Okay, so this is very interesting. This looks like, if you haven't seen this yet, I mean, you could just Google it, but I'm seeing it on Vogue.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
Okay,
but,
so
but it's everywhere and nowhere.
It is. Oh my gosh. By the way, that's like with my kids are becoming obsessed with sneakers.
Yeah. So now it's on, now you can get one for $800. I think they sold them for $200, but here's what I'm saying. Shock Who is now. So ahead of the,
that they curve? Would know these things. Younger people, younger than us.
That's true. Okay. Yeah,
people younger than us.
It looks,
I mean, it's not as weird as I thought it would be. Although I can picture someone like dancing, like in the background in an Austin Powers movie wearing it. Can you kind of picture that? With like,
it's very shiny for anyone. It's a blue shiny.
Wait, Grim, we're so old. I mean, you're so out of touch. Here we are thinking we're breaking news. Here's an article from Bloomberg, September 29th. Kanye West $90 Yeezy Gap hoodie selling out hours after launch.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the hoodie. Never mind. The jacket is new. You're correct.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I spoke too
I try
soon.
To stay. I try to stay relevant, Kirsten. Because number two on our list, read magazines that purport to be of good taste. This is a great list. I feel like we're reading something from the 50s. That's always, remember that thing that people would read at weddings, like how to be a good wife. Remember that funny list from the 50s?
Yes.
Okay. Visit stores and shops that are up to the minute in the realms of clothing and accessories.
These are hot tips.
If you don't know this by now, then you are an idiot. Don't be led by fashion. Be informed by it. Start to develop your own personal style.
That's a good one. Don't be led by fashion. Be informed by it. So here's the deal. So we need to be aware of the fuzzy slipper thing, but if it's not us, it's not us.
Right.
But like, you know what I would do? I like them when they're like shearing lined. Like here's a trend I'm popping on. Actually, I've been trying to pop on it, and because of supply chain issues, I'm having a very hard time. But I would like a pair of clogs.
I thought you didn't want clogs.
No, I do want clogs. I want some.
Well, I think that's your Scandinavian blood coming out, your Finnish blood.
The minute I saw a clog, I said I must have them. But yeah, I think it's hard to find right now.
I think that's something primal in your like DNA that you want a clog. I will pass. I see that brings me back to a very awkward stage. I had these very painful clogs that I think I broke out in high school, and it was a very tricky time. All right.
Well, here's the problem with the clog is I don't care for a clog where you can see the staples. I feel like that just, to me, it's like, that's an unfinished, you know what I'm talking
cheap,
about? Where they like
a cheap
just
clog.
But they're not, they're expensive. But I just don't like that style. I like
Well, that's
it
how I feel
brackets.
About dresses where you see the zipper. Every time I see a dress with an exposed zipper, I'm like, the fashion world is trying to fool us into thinking that them spending less time to make the garment, because really it's just a faster way to make a garment rather than to close the zipper. And I'm like, you're not going to fool me. I know that you've skipped a step and you're trying
to
tell me.
Nice try, people.
You're not pulling one over on me with your exposed zipper. You just like made a cheaper garment and are trying to peddle it to me. Never. Yep. See. Okay. Well, good taste is a result of learning, patient, being very selective and disallowing quick fixes. It's a stupid list. Here's one. Know that the good taste is not a birthright. It takes hard work and discipline. That is true.
Have I told you I'm rewatching Poldark? Sorry, the idea of a birthright, like, is very like Poldarkian.
It is very Poldarkian.
So yeah, true. So it's not a birthright. It's not a birthright. Listen, Demelza can have good taste just as much as Elizabeth can.
If you're
not watching Poldark and you don't get that joke, I don't even know why you're listening.
Well, ironically, I went and I watched the Gucci movie last night, the House of Gucci with Lady Gaga, who's actually, she's excellent in the movie. She does a very good job. But that whole saga, I had no idea how interesting it was. You know that no one in the Gucci family still owns Gucci anymore.
Mm-mm.
Completely, like, it's completely third-party owners. They basically had this family business that kind of drove into the ground.
Interesting. No, I got to go see that movie. Was it good or no?
It was good for people who like fashion, and you know, it wasn't the fastest moving movie, but it was interesting. But I guess what I'm saying about it was, you know, that was a big family. The Gucci family was a wide family. Not everyone in that family had good taste. You would assume that everyone, just because you were a Gucci, would have good taste, but that was not the case. And that was kind of what they were pointing out, was some people, you know, had different skill sets in different areas.
Interesting. So good taste is a result of learning, patience. Learning, comma, patience, because that sounded like I said learning patience, being very selective and disallowing quick fixes. Okay, I am sorry, but this disproves what you just said about the girl with the Hermes scarf.
Right, like she just whimsically did that.
It was a quick fix.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think good taste is elusive.
But I will say, here's the thing. I have not, as we mentioned before, like, you couldn't walk through my house and be like, wow, you really got it together, lady. You walk through my house and be like, you're not trying that hard. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying that hard. But with my last house, I very much tried hard. And I will say, I studied, someone told me, this person who I was buying cabinets from told me, like, look at picture after picture after picture after picture, take out the ones you like, whether it's on Pinterest or whether it's in magazines, and then start to see what they all have in common. And then you'll realize, oh, I like this drawer front, or I like this, whatever. And she was totally right, right? So that takes time. And then from there, I also realized what is sort of the foundation and where might this evolve to, so I could then kind of forecast the trends. And I think a lot of choices I made in my last house really were forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. This was like 6 years ago. I'm like already burned out of ever wanting to do that again, you know? And I think that's why I haven't bought like a single rug for this house, is because like, so much work, you know?
Well, and that's why I think that's why people hire outsiders, because they don't have time or effort or energy to put into constantly staying up with having good taste. But okay, that makes me think about this other concept that I'm not sure that I like or believe in. You know how everything now is labeled like, oh, we have a taste maker who's going to come and whatever. Think about it. What is a taste maker? What does that even mean? Right? Somebody else who tells you what good taste is? I thought good taste is something that you're supposed to intrinsically and effortlessly have.
Right, right.
So why do you need
like a thought leader?
Right. That's basically
what it is. Well, no, I think there are, though. I definitely think there are, because someone had to say, like, let's bring in the fuzzy slippers. Well, it's your favorite scene from The Devil Wears Prada. You guys know that famous scene where she's like, Graham can like do it better than me. But
wait, which one?
The scene where she's like, oh, you're laughing at this purple.
Oh, cerulean blue?
Oh, yeah. I knew it was on the tip of your tongue.
Wasn't picked for you. Yeah, now it's in your bargain basket at TJ, whatever it is.
Yeah, and now there's this like trickle down. So I do think there are tastemakers, and I just, in the same way there are thought leaders who sort of put these new ideas into like common culture and, you know, common vernacular, and then all of a sudden in a couple of years, just like everybody's buying it at Target, which, you know, 3 years before it was like just on the runway for $1 gazillion. I think it's the same thing with kind of concepts and all of that. So I do think there are tastemakers.
Well, the German philosopher Immanuel Kant observed in his Critique of Judgment, I think this is kind of a cool quote.
I love that we've had two philosophers mentioned.
Yeah, this is a real thing. That's why I actually found this concept fascinating. Taste is an ostensibly rational, objective judgment that's ultimately based on subjective feeling. So that's the thing. We feel that we have the ability to say, oh, that person has good taste. Like you, when you go into someone's home, that person has good taste, that person has bad taste. And you just state it, but yet it's completely based on your own internal subjective feelings. So then that brings me to the other concept, right? Of people who are from other cultures or different backgrounds, they just have different tastes. It's not necessarily bad taste.
Totally.
And that's the other thing. So growing up in my little neighborhood, it's very multicultural. We have people from all over the world who live in our little neighborhood. And they design their homes very differently based upon, you know, where they're from culturally and how they, you know, how they build on their lots and how they do things. And you can see the differences in what people like. But I mean, in their mind, they're building homes that are beautiful and lovely to them.
For sure. No, it's confusing.
Well, and then you love to play up the Southern Northern difference. I mean, total differences in taste there.
Oh, I will say my taste has changed since being in the North.
Wait, how?
Because I feel like I'm more into I'm a little more modern.
Are you a little more edgy? And
yeah, I'm a little more, you know.
When I go home too, like I'll wear more black and more kind of.
But then I also always think about Beetlejuice. And how the New Yorkers came with their bad taste and the New England people were like very homey. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Okay. I do want to point out another thing I don't like about your list.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay. So if we go down, no one's following along at home, but if you were to, I do not care for number, let me see. Number 8, A Bit of Exquisiteness.
Okay.
Now maybe it's
so
not that one.
Why don't you?
No, never mind. That's about perfume. I'm fine with the perfume one. That's fun. That's fun. We'd like that. Wait, stop. Speaking of perfume.
Okay. Ooh, we have a fabulous sponsor that we love and we're obsessed with. And actually, my house is smelling so good. I've scented up my house today. We have Scentfill.
What good taste you have, Graham.
It actually, I'm loving it. My house smells like peppermint and it's Christmas time right now because I'm actually, and it's burning so slowly, which is nice. I mean, not burning, that's probably not the right term to use, but it's a natural scented oil plug-in. So I plugged it in and it's been going strong for 2 weeks and you can kind of adjust the dial to see how much or how little scent you want. It's 100% natural. So there aren't any weird chemicals and it's made my house smell just very kind of clean. Now this is not, I'm being very honest. I'm telling you my recommendation. This is actually something kind of cool. It's made me less hungry to be in my house, which is the craziest thing ever. And I never thought about this. And I assume if you got like the apple pie scent, you'd probably be more hungry. I mean, not that they even have apple pie that I know of. But what's kind of cool is I have the peppermint and it smells so clean and fresh. It's kind of like a spa. And I noticed that it's making me snack less because my house has that clean, almost, you know, like a not.
Yeah, this claim has not been approved by the sponsor.
No, it has not been. It has not been. It's not been
lose those holiday pounds. No, but here's what I will say the sponsor would agree with. I would say that they would agree with the idea that I'm going to make a blanket statement here. Things that stink are in bad taste. Things that smell delightful are in good taste.
Yes, that's 100% true. They have over 80 unique scents that you can get. You can stick to 100% natural category. You can mix and match them. They have customizable starter kits that are under $20. So that's a great little holiday gift. And we have an offer for our listeners as usual, which is kind of fun. You go to scentfill.com/welcome home, all one word. So scentfill.com/welcome home. And if you use the promo code WH10, like welcome home, 10, you will get 10% off your order and you also get free shipping, which is kind of cool. So that's very actually quite affordable. This is not super, this stuff is very affordable.
Yeah. And it makes a good gift as we brought up last week.
You know, my house smells very good right now. I'm very much enjoying my scent pill.
I like it.
And my I'm on my first one and it's only halfway down and I've been burning it for 2 weeks or I've been plugging it in for 2 weeks.
Burning the midnight oil. Well, thank you, Scentfill. We again check out our sponsors and we appreciate you partnering with us. Okay, so here's what I meant to say.
Okay.
I don't like number 3. Every little bit helps or every little helps. I think that was a typo. Anyway, okay. The point is don't combine cheap stuff with expensive stylish clothes. Prada pants will lose their look in combination with a cheap top.
Oh, blah. That's not true.
That's like the anti what we think.
That's
dumb. That's dumb. Yeah. These people have terrible taste.
Well, and also there's a part of this that says, as top stylist state, women should save on should not save on shoes, underwear, and makeup. That doesn't make any sense. You need expensive shoes. That's true. No one sees your underwear. Why are you spending money on underwear? That's like the one thing you could totally not spend money on.
Can I tell you the truth about my underwear? Wait, hold on.
I know the truth about your underwear. I've seen your underwear.
Let me think. This is on the internet. Okay, I'll just whatever. Nah. Yeah.
You want to skip that? How about this? I've seen it. It's nothing special.
Well, what I was going to say is I had a really good thing going for a long time with the bikini wax place where every time you go in for wax, they'd give you free underwear. And I had like a good supply chain going there.
Are you kidding me?
No, but now I had to move.
Oh, that's a very
nice. I don't even know where you buy underwear if you don't get it for free at the wax place.
No, well, that was like for some odd reason. Like I got on this thing with Victoria's Secret where every month they'd send me like a free pair of underwear. I think it was to make you go in the store and buy other stuff, but I would just hop on in, grab my pair and hop out, and then they stopped sending it to me. So that was annoying.
Yeah, that was very exciting. I kind of expect at this point underwear to just show up in the mail once a month. Like,
right, I feel like it's something you should get for free.
I wonder if that's a thing, like how they have those toothbrush subscription services. Because it's nothing I ever think about. And you know what? You know when I think about it is when I'm packing and I'm like, good God, like none of these should travel. So maybe I think that actually there's room for a subscription underwear service because nobody really ever thinks like, let's update our underwear.
You know what else people we need subscriptions for are men's undershirts and like the scuzzy things that men wear. I'm telling you, my husband's undershirts, like that should be a subscription.
Seriously? I feel like I'm standing right next to my husband's undershirt drawer. I think he has 75 undershirts. Like we never need another one.
Take out ever. The ones that have the armpit stains.
No, he likes them old because they're soft.
I know. That's
and no one's ever going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're undershirts. So it's like, if it makes you happy to have a soft undershirt. But then like, you know what? We actually do have a subscription service. It's called His Mom. She mails him new undershirts to this day. He's 42. And
so isn't that's funny?
And then we never throw out any. So we keep getting more and more.
Isn't it odd? The weird things that I actually do love this, that like parents decide that they need to make sure their children always have, like every Christmas, my husband gets razors. We get like the razor refills. Like we get razor blades basically every Christmas.
Dude, from his dad.
And it's like his dad has just decided that we are going to make sure that we are always stocked with razor blades. And also he gets
Of mine will not have a razor blade.
Yeah, but it's just such an odd thing to restock. And like my parents have decided that the one thing they do get me are like dress socks. And I don't even think I wear dress socks anymore.
My mom finally stopped buying me like 5 different shades of pantyhose. That happened until mid-30s. And finally, I'm like, Mom, I don't really wear pantyhose.
Oh, remember those like white pantyhose we used to wear? Like, what were we thinking?
Oh, gosh. The pantyhose is a whole nother topic. Remember, here's the deal. Remember when it was like in very poor taste not to wear pantyhose? Like when our mothers were growing up?
Well, but here's the thing. Now, as we get older, I think we're aging back into pantyhose.
No, I don't think we're going to age into back. I think it's gone.
No, I've actually broken out a pair just the other day. Are you kidding me?
Well, you're talking about like, it's cold. I'm wearing tights or are you talking
about? No, I'm talking like nude colored pantyhose. In fact, I need to like restock. I think why? I'm bringing because they make your legs look better, especially as people get older, like veins start coming in, like all the stuff.
I'm dipping
into pantyhose again.
That's an interesting. Okay, this goes into the Talbots category.
And also, here it is.
Talbots get cuter, or do we get older?
Yeah, but no. But here's the thing:
starting to make sense. Or
it's January. You can't go out with bare legs.
I can do whatever I want. No, I know. Well, it's called pants. Or tights. I'll wear tights.
No, by but the way, it doesn't look good. Wearing a cute pencil skirt, you're not going to. Here's the thing. So here's a great look. I look good in a pencil skirt and a button down shirt. I'm probably going to wear one tomorrow night to something. And it's like, I'm not going to go bare legged because that's kind of tacky in the winter, I think. And you're not going to wear tights under it because that ruins the outfit. So you have to wear pantyhose.
I am really confused. So I actually have been going out purposely to look at what people are wearing because I don't know how to dress in cold weather anymore.
I know.
Because last year I was here last winter, but it was COVID. So I never left my house. And so anyway, I know I'm I'm not going on your pantyhose bandwagon, but I will say
I'm telling you, as a New Yorker, you're going to have to do it, because how do you wear a skirt? And unless you're going to stick yourself to wearing a skirt with opaque tights, which is not always a very good look. It is not appropriate.
I think I look weird.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it looks weird. Don't wear that.
There's something also about looking down and seeing my feet in shoes where they're tights, where I feel like I am 70. Again, like there's something about it. And then when I see other people doing it, I'm like, no, that it's cold. It makes
you feel
sense.
Like you should like dangle your legs from a chair and like kind of knock your legs.
But when I
together.
See other yeah. women, they look like actual grown-ups. For some reason, when I see my own feet, I feel like I am back in third grade.
But when you're wearing tights and shoes?
Tights with shoes. I feel it's like maybe it's church this morning. Maybe it's like the school concert. It's the winter concert. I don't know.
And you're wearing like a scratchy wool sweater or something. Yes. Some horrible outfit. Yeah, yes. I get you. On our list that we're not even reading from, tastes differ. Wild color. What is this? Wild color combinations are the first hint of bad taste. That's why one should choose color combinations very carefully. To avoid this task, many people prefer black and gray clothes at times, adding some hot hues. Where is this list from?
The Lilly Pulitzer website. Just kidding. No, this is dumb. Lots of people wear bright colors and it's lovely. Like, I mean, come on.
No, but they're just saying having decent, good taste across the board. Like if you have a monochromatic, I get that. That makes sense.
Can we please have another fashion person on? Because there have been things I've learned from having certain fashion guests on that
I really have a fashion guest. That's a great idea.
I don't remember exactly who it was, but one of our guests had told us that like if you're going to a wedding, there's the temptation to spend a lot of money on like a wedding, not a wedding dress, you know, mm-hmm. Or you're going to an event, you know, a school fundraiser or whatever, a fancy thing. And you're tempted to spend a lot of money on an outfit and you're only going to wear it once, maybe twice, maybe three times. Mm-hmm. But like the jeans you wear every day, that's where you should spend your money, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have taken that to heart since she said that. And I've never not looked perfectly fine for the events, but mm-hmm. I've had like the freedom to spend a little bit more money on the things I wear every day and most of all. And I think it was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got.
Well, it's why you can't knock athleisure anymore, because truth is I just need to be in athleisure most days because of just what I have to do on a daily basis. And so because I'm wearing that more than, you know, like you're saying, like the dress for the wedding, might as well put more money into my leggings that are the workhorse of my life.
You're going to wear every day. Yep.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. That's why athleisure is killing it right now. But we haven't really done a very good job on this podcast because I feel like we talked a lot about clothes. And I do think taste is such a larger, right? Like we haven't even discussed being an elegant person in general, right? Just having good taste in general.
Well, what do you think that means?
Well, I don't think we can really talk about that very much.
No. But I mean, we were hard on ourselves, but like, I feel like we genuinely try to be pleasant. Right. And I mean, when, you know, when it's you and I talking to each other, we have a certain level of like, you know, informality and just understanding, but like
hopefully people who listen know that. Okay, so here's an example.
But like,
I was telling someone,
we would never speak.
Okay, here's an example, right? Like, you wouldn't go. I mean, I think it comes up with a lot with paying for things, right? One time we were invited to a birthday party, and it was a fancy birthday party. It was a milestone, and at the end of the birthday party, like we all got the bill for the birthday party. But it was a very, you know, it was, so that was, I would consider that to be in bad taste, right? But how do you dictate that?
Wait, you're saying you got invited to a party and then you were asked to pay for it?
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was like a formal dinner. It was a formal seated plated dinner. So it wasn't as if, you know, obviously, see, and that's the thing, these things of good taste, bad taste, they're so subtle, right? Like if I'm taking someone out for their birthday dinner, or I'm going out with a group of girls, we clearly know we're all paying for our own dinner. And, you know, and we're also picking up, we're all splitting the birthday girl's portion of the dinner, right? I would say that's kind of like an unspoken known thing, right? Mm-hmm. But when does it cross the line, right? When you're invited to clearly like a milestone birthday, you know, for someone.
Okay, here's what I would say. It's all about expectations. Because I don't think you for a minute begrudge paying for something. Like, do you care?
I think you do. I think we got a monster bill one time from a party that was a very
But here's the thing. If you had known, would you have been upset? If it was like, hey, we're doing, like, I think that that's what I'm getting at, is I think what people don't like is to feel like they're getting like a bait and switch, or to feel like you weren't mm-hmm. honest with me. I think what it is like, if you invite someone and you suggest, and like the way the invitation is worded or whatever, like the culture around you suggests would mm-hmm. be something, and then you switch it, then I feel like people feel like they've been either cheated or lied to or whatever. But I think if you, I think, like, I have no problem going to a party and be having, like, it's a no host bar. Like, okay, totally fine. Like,
yeah,
that's,
totally,
that's
fine.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I think what people don't like is feeling like, whoa, I assumed you were paying for this and now I'm getting the bill. Like, that's what I think people have the problem
right,
with.
Right, right.
You know? So,
and that's interesting. It's another concept, though, of how does bad taste differ from just doing something that's rude?
Right.
You know, well, I mean, I think
it kinda comes down to treat others the way you would be treated.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, for example, if you go to a dinner party and you're on your phone the whole time, that's not because you have bad taste. It's just because you're rude. Right. Yeah. So you have bad manners. So there's a difference between being rude, having bad manners, or having bad taste.
Like, I think it's in bad
taste.
It's very nuanced. Okay. Like, here's a good one. Like, the line between, like, how much do I help clean up? How much do I offer to bring? You know what I mean? Like, there's always this element of, like, sometimes, like, people who just, like, come into a corner, sure, and they don't offer, like, can I bring something? And, like, mm-hmm. that's, like, I feel like that's kind of poor taste, or, you know, at least you bring, like, a bottle of wine or whatever, but then, mm-hmm. like, but at the same time, if you're like, no, I've got it, for real, I've got it, and people don't let it go, or, like, I demand to do your dishes, it's like, you know,
right.
I feel like it's just being really respectful, maybe that's kind of what I'm dancing around.
I think so. Yeah. No, you know? I think that's a good concept. No, I felt like we needed to touch upon more than just clothing.
No. Right? I think you're right. I think also it comes down to, like, how people say, like, never trust anyone who is rude to waitstaff, you know?
Yes. And again, or is unkind to animals.
Right. And I think that comes down to, again, like, respect. Like, if someone is helping you with something and you treat them like, you know, like garbage, then, like, mm-hmm. you're not respecting them. You're not treating them the way you'd want to be treated. So, like, you don't have good taste. Like, you don't have, you're not, yeah. And mm-hmm. but as I'm saying taste, it's like the synonym is like, well, you're just kind of a jerk, or you have bad right. manners. But
and it's so personal to different people in different ways.
Right. But, well, I mean, let's put it this way. Okay. I was actually thinking about this episode. I'm going to say something super controversial.
Okay,
but, like,
go for it.
Okay. We're going,
you're
out
in a late. Safe space.
No, I'm not. I'm on the internet. Okay. I think objectively, many people would say, okay, Dolly Parton doesn't have great taste. But okay, yet, as yes, I even said that, I'm like, please, right, God, don't strike me with lightning, because she's the right, most wonderful human being on the planet.
Well, and we're obsessed, and everyone loves her. And
every
all of
she's
her.
Fabulous. And so
that's,
like,
she's a great,
is,
that's a good example, Kirsten.
It is
good
a good
job.
Example.
That's,
because, like,
I'm glad you,
I think, objectively,
up,
it's like her looks a little country over the top tackiness, you know, whatever. But, like,
but we're obsessed with her. We're all obsessed with her.
And she right, can do no wrong. And I love her. And I think it's two things. I think it's one, having confidence and ownership in her taste.
Uh-huh.
And she's happy.
But she, well, let's,
you,
be fair.
And
hold
then
on,
two, she's just an incredibly human being. And so.
Right. But, and know? I'll tell you also, though, I don't think, remember, let's go back in our Dolly Parton wisdom. She did not always have an easy road. For years, no, and years and years, people were cruel. People made fun of her. People were not nice about her. But then I think with age, you get this free pass. All of a sudden the switch flips and you're allowed, as long as you just push on through with whatever it is you're doing and don't try to change, that there's, like, an age flip where you get the green card to just do whatever you want.
I think it's kind of the age flip, but I think it's also, like, she had this over the top look. She had, like, the huge boobs, the dramatic hair, the, you know, glitzy outfits. Like, she was over the top. And you're right. In, like, the 90s or whatever, she was a little bit of, like, a joke kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm. She wasn't beloved as she is.
Right,
now,
right. But I think what happened is, because she stayed true to herself, mm-hmm, she stayed confident, and people got to see her heart and what a good person she was, mm-hmm, people started to think, actually, this is very cool. Now, like, let's right, flip it around now. And, like, Donald Trump has also been, like, the goofy hair jokes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people have been making fun of his hair since the 80s.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And nobody seemed to, like, care about it or remember it when he was, like, having his apprentice day. But then when he got really political and got kind of, you know, like, this arrogance and, you know, all the reasons why people don't care for Trump, like, I think that made his taste even more like another thing people would point out that they didn't like. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh,
so I think at the end of the day, I mean, sounds so dumb, but I think at the end of the day, it's like, it's on the inside that it's what's on the inside that counts about taste.
But I would say also, I don't think a lot of people are out copying Donald Trump's hairstyle. And I actually, even though people love Dolly Parton, I don't think a lot of people are actually out trying to dress like her. I don't think, I think everyone loves her, but I don't think anyone's going out saying like, let me go rhinestone it up. Yes. We respect her, but I don't think we're copying her. Like I would tie a scarf around a handbag handle because that's a good look. I look at it and I'm like, that is nice looking, well played. Right. And as much as I adore Dolly Parton, I don't think I would ever make those fashion choices.
Although, do you not remember 2005? We bedazzled quite a few things. I remember spending like an entire episode of The Simple Life putting little rhinestones on my Nokia.
Oh,
the good old days. I thought that was great taste. I was probably wearing like juicy sweats while I did it.
We did think we, yeah.
Good old
See,
2005.
That's the thing. It's all in the eye of the beholder. All right, Kirsten, I enjoyed this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're sure you all have wonderful, you have excellent taste in podcasts. We can tell you that.
Oh, I hope so. All right. Well, thanks for listening and enjoy December. Hope everyone is, what do I even say about December? Enjoying their craziest month of the year.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a fabulous guest coming up on the next show. So, yeah. So be ready for that.
All right.
Scintillating and we'll be well researched. You'll enjoy it.
All right, Graham. Welcome home.
Welcome home.
And that's all we have from Kirsten and Graham. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Welcome Home. If you're interested in hearing more from the iconic best friend duo, please subscribe, tell your friends about us, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook for giveaways and other exciting updates. Until next time, welcome home.